50th missionary weekend, and we're so glad that you're here to be part of it, and we're going to join together in the singing of a great missionary hymn, one that has been a blessing for many, many years, and especially at these weekends. There's a call comes ringing over the restless waves, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. Delighted tonight to have the chairman of the mission board with us, the Reverend Ian Harris. We want to thank him for the work that he does and thank the Lord for the gifts that has been given to him. And we're going to ask him to come and pray, lead us to the throne of grace, and to pass on some greetings from the mission board. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Reverend Park, for the words of welcome. It's a great honour and privilege to be with you at the start of this missionary weekend here in Ballymoney once again, to see so many gathered in from near and far, and we welcome you all in the Lord's great name. On behalf of the Mission Board especially, I want to bring sincere greetings tonight to this special weekend on your Jubilee, 50 years. We thank God for all who are involved in the work of mission right across the length and breadth of our whole denomination. But especially here, this weekend has been very pivotal in the annual calendar of events year by year. I remember coming up here as a young teenager many years ago. Now, I wasn't here 50 years ago, but near enough. Coming up as a young teenager, the whole way from Banbridge, rushing up here on the Friday night to be part of the gathering. And it is a blessing to see the light still being radiated and shone forth from this weekend. I was thinking of Dr. Kearns. There are very few people that are so privileged. You plant a seed, and you don't know how that seed is going to grow. And 50 years later, God enables you to come back and to see not only how the seed has grown, but how it has borne fruit over the years. And so we give God all the glory tonight for that seed that was planted in our brother's heart and in the corporate vision of the session and the congregation here in Ballymoney, and for how God has blessed it and prospered it over these past years. The verse I was thinking of coming up the road is just the verse that is on the front of your order of service. For over 50 years, this weekend has been used of God to lift eyes and to put them onto the great harvest fields of the world. And year by year, I always commend our brother, the Reverend Park, for the great variety and focus he can manage to get in just a little local and in an international flavour into the programme for the weekend. And the eyes have been lifted. God's people have been stirred. Been stirred to pray. They've been stirred to give. And we know many thousands of pounds have been raised over the years. And many different projects have been helped on the field. But I think tonight the most important thing is that God has used these meetings to speak personally and individually to individuals and to call them by his grace and by his love into the Master's harvest field. So not only have we been looking on the harvest field over these weekends and the years that have gone by, but God has used the weekend to put men and women in the harvest field, and we give him glory and praise and honour tonight. So I know that this seed is well nurtured and cared for by the Reverend Park and the Session Committee and congregation here, and I pray that as the Lord tarries, that the Lord will be pleased to further bless it and nurture it and use it in the years that lie ahead. Let's all please unite our hearts together in prayer. Our eternal Father in heaven, as we bow in thy divine and holy presence tonight, we give thee thanks for thy great love and mercy toward us that enables us once again to meet to praise thy great and glorious name and to return thee our heartfelt thanks for thy saving grace within our hearts and within our lives. We thank thee for the workings of the Spirit of God in the hearts of so many gathered in to this meeting tonight. Those that were once on the world's side, we thank thee by the pool of grace have been brought onto God's side. And we thank thee, Lord, for that new vision that you give to us. We thank thee for that day you directed the gaze of the disciples away from their own personal needs in John 4. And you put their gaze once again on the great harvest fields of the souls of men and women that were all round about them. And I pray once again, as we gather at the start of this special Jubilee weekend of missionary meetings, that thou wilt help us just to take our eyes off our own needs, to take our eyes for this time of our own personal difficulties and our own local problems, and that thou wilt help us just to lift our eyes, not only to what is going on round about us in the harvest field at home, but on the foreign field as well. We pray that our hearts might be stirred, our souls might be blessed, that the Spirit of God might work and move and strive. We pray for all who will take part in the meeting tonight, in the reports that will be given, in the vigils that will be shown, in those who will minister in song. We pray that all will be to thy glory and thine honour, and that the Spirit of God will grant special help and enablement to each one as they participate. Bless thy servant as he would lead the meeting tonight. We thank thee for him. We thank thee for that special zeal and grace and love in his heart that thou hast given to him for the work of mission at home and abroad. And we pray for the Reverend Park and the session and committee here in Ballymoney as they have been handed this special seed to care and nurture, that thou will continue to undertake for them as they would seek to pray down the blessing of God upon that work that God has planted. And may they be pleased, Lord, to see God further prosper it in the days that lie ahead. We look to thee, Lord, especially for the preaching of God's word tonight. We thank thee for Dr. Kearns. We thank thee for all of those years ago that you put it into his heart and mind, and that of the session here in the congregation in Ballymoney to commence these special missionary weekends. And we rejoice, Lord, for all of God's goods bestowed upon him and through him to this people over the years. And we thank thee for sparing him to come back 50 years later to see how God prospered the seed that was sown. And I pray you'll bless him, his own soul, very especially tonight, as he would deliver the word that thou hast given to him. We pray that thou wilt grant him fresh unction and fresh endowment with power that is from on high. And may he know that help that only the Spirit of God can give. And Lord, as we would hear thy word tonight, may there be conscionable hearing of the word of God in the meeting tonight. We pray that our understanding might be opened, that our hearts might be touched, and that God will help us to walk in new light and in fresh obedience as a result of our coming together. We do pray for all who labour on the mission fields, at home and abroad. We thank thee for the week of prayer that has gone out into eternity in Armagh with our ministers, our missionaries, and with our students. And we thank thee for the spirit of prayer and the burden of prayer for the work of God at home and abroad. And I pray you'll bless all who labour for thee and all who know and love and own thee as their Saviour. We know, Lord, many tonight are labouring in hard and difficult places. And I pray that thou wouldst grant unto them that special comfort that only the Lord can impart. So we commit the way to thee, we commit the night to thee, and the rest of the weekend to thee. And we pray that in and through it, that the Lord Jesus will be uplifted, honoured and exalted, and all glory, praise and honour will be given to him, in whose name we offer our prayers. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Little girl in the front of your order of service is called Rama, or if you can roll your R's, Rama. I think there's a wee bit of a roll there, so if you're from Scotland or North Antrim, you shouldn't have a problem doing that. And we were speaking about this just last night at the prayer meeting. When you think of a child like this at a school, and we have them on the little invitation cards as well, there's some of those left. You could use them as a bookmarker, and when you think of the school, you can pray for the children, you can pray for this little girl and her family. They come from a Muslim background, at least the father was a Muslim, but we want to see them saved by the grace of God. So think about the children and pray much for them as you seek the Lord day by day. Now you have the order of service, so I don't need to get up and down and announce everything individually. You'll see that the choir is going to come and sing now, the Hebron Choir. I want to thank them for their ministry and their willingness to participate in all of our special meetings, and particularly this weekend. Then we have a DVD presentation that we've put together. This is the first time that it will be shown publicly in Northern Ireland, and it is to do with our Emmanuel Christian School. Following that, our sister, Miss Noreen McAfee, who has been home for a few weeks. The children are off on holiday for their summer holiday. And so that enabled the Lord's servant to come here and be with us for a little time and spend time with her family. And she's going to come and give a little report, my first term at Emmanuel Christian School. Then the young people from our youth fellowship our Hebron Youth Fellowship Choir will sing, and immediately after that, the Reverend Stephen Miller will come and bring a report on Emmanuel Christian School and Mission Station. So that's how it is shaping up in the will of the Lord. I'm going to ask the choir to come forward and minister in song.
It's always a joy to speak about Uganda and what the Lord is doing there. The scripture speaks about doors which God opens that no man can shut. Paul spoke of a great door, an effectual that was opened unto him, believing that the Lord was opening a door into Uganda through the mission station at Emmanuel Christian School. The mission board sent out men over a period of time to investigate, to test out the waters, to spy out the land. Reverend Noah Kelly had asked us to take over the work which he had started some 15 years previously. The Lord directed our way and brought us to Emmanuel, opening the door effectually, overcoming legal matters. This led us to officially receiving the keys of the property on the 1st of January 2017. We sent our brother Stephen Miller and his wife Ruth to be physically on the ground to tie up all the paperwork on behalf of the board. We are indebted to both of them for their diligence and patience. All things came together in the providence of God, allowing us to officially reopen the church and school on the Lord's Day, the 30th of April 2017, under the new management of the Free Presbyterian Mission Society Africa. It was a marvellous occasion, with various board members travelling out for the opening. The children at Lesalu certainly know how to give a hearty, cheerful welcome. The wee church was packed to capacity with children, staff, parents, church members and local people squeezing into every little part of the building. We can say that it was a day singularly owned by the Lord, and those taking part can testify to the blessedness of the experience. Our chairman brought a timely word to the assembled crowd.
Let me treat you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is my great privilege to be with you, bring the word of God here today, to meet the boys and girls of the school, to meet the members of staff, to meet the members of Emmanuel Church, and to meet our guests. And we pray today that the Lord will be in the midst, and that we'll know His help and His presence.
Official appointments were made during our visit. Reverend Miller was appointed as the minister of the church and administrator of the school. His wife Ruth was given responsibility of finance in the school. Miss Noreen McAfee, after 17 years experience in Kenya, became the principal of Emmanuel Christian School. Pastor Andrew became the assistant to the minister, and his wife, Madam Catherine, the deputy head teacher. The ladies rose to the occasion by providing a sumptuous Uganda dinner after the service, which was enjoyed by the several hundred in attendance.
Mr. McMillan has taken double helpings of everything.
During our visit, while visiting the capital city, Kampala, we were able to do some vital work. We obtained the certificate for operating an NGO, a non-government organization. We pay tribute to our brother Alistair Hamilton for all the background work in achieving this important document. We are now able to legally operate in the country, own property and employ staff. We also had a meeting with a drilling company in our pursuit of securing a borehole on the property. There are 270 children enrolled at Emmanuel School. 60 of these are boarders, 30 of which are orphan children. The school was originally set up to help the most needy and poor of society. Consequently, and understandably, school fees are beyond most. This means that we have to find approximately £30,000 per year to run the school. This money is needed to feed and clothe the children, pay teachers' salaries, and meet the day-to-day running costs of the school. In addition to this, it is the burden of the mission board to improve facilities at the school. Some of these improvements have already taken place, making life so much easier for the children and bringing a great blessing to those who have benefited from the work completed. Other improvements will be made as the Lord enables the board to provide the necessary funds. It is our desire to set before you the burden and the vision of our mission board and missionary council. Let me speak of three areas of importance. First of all, Emmanuel Christian School is a place of education. We all know the importance of the classroom, having our children educated as far as it lies within us in the academics of life. We want the same for the children of Uganda. We are providing an environment where children from the Nasalu area can receive an education, where they can be taught to read and write and prepare for the future. We want to see these children do well, obtain qualifications, and integrate into employment. Will you pray to that end? Pray that teachers will know the help of God every day and have the skills and patience to provide the best education possible to children so deprived in many ways. We commend to you sponsorship. It takes approximately £120 per year to educate a primary school child and £180 for a secondary school child. That's just £10 or £15 a month. The Lord has some individuals who can sign up to this project, perhaps a family, a Sunday school, a children's meeting, a youth fellowship or a Bible class, a ladies' group or some other department in the church. We thank God for those who already are contributing through this means. Let me set before you, secondly, Emmanuel Christian School, a place of compassion. It has been our desire to improve facilities at the school. Can you imagine what it would be like without electricity? Prior to the solar power installation, Emmanuel School was in darkness. Uganda, being near the equator, gets 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours darkness. Unless you possessed a torch or some simple standalone solar light, you were in darkness. Now, due to the generosity of God's people from Toronto and Drumore, there is solar power, light at night, and enough electricity to generate power for other appliances such as a fridge. Our missionaries can now charge their mobile phones and run their computers. Can you imagine life without running water? Having to walk to some dirty swamp to collect a supply every day? Water needing to be filtered before consumption? These children had to walk several times every day downhill to a swamp and uphill with their jerry cans carried on their heads. Now they have clean, safe, drinkable water on site. Not only has a water harvesting system been installed, but a borehole has been sunk. A sincere thank you to our Lisburn Church and our brother Eric Graham for seeing this project to its conclusion. The sound of running water from one of the taps was music in my ears. Listen to it.
That's a great sight.
Water, as you can imagine, is precious, a precious commodity. Even leaking water is put to good use. Our mission board has been able to provide other basic necessities, mattresses, shoes, clothes. We had the opportunity to do some local shopping, a great and memorable experience. Thank you to those who contributed clothes for the poor and needy children of Emmanuel. The Lord has seen your labor of love and will reward you accordingly. Let me tell you about the play park, a little project to give enjoyment to the children. When we attended the opening of the school in April, I came back thinking about the school kids, especially those who lived on site, many of them little orphans. I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a play area for the children? When I came home, I shared this burden with my family, and two of my children said, "Dad, we will go in the summer and build it, but we'll not go without you." Permission was granted by the mission board for this project, and two other members of Hebron came on board as part of the construction team. This all became a reality in August, and I thank all who contributed, prayed, and helped in any way to make it possible. The reward for us was the joy in the children's faces.
It's now the cool of the evening, and we have a few children left at school, plus some neighbours have come in.
The children of the school are most delightful. always willing to help wherever they can, including at the local car wash. Oh, by the way, a word for young people listening in. Children at the school do their own washing. We have a vision for future development. Perhaps some of you can help with various projects. We are obliged to improve the kitchen facilities. What we have at present is pretty primitive, but we are looking to the Lord for the money to install at least 2 or 3 cookers or burners. This will make life a little easier for the domestic staff. A toilet and shower block will be constructed for the children. We thank our brother Paul Halfay for his burden in this matter and for raising the finances. Sometime in the future, there will be the need to build classes for secondary school pupils as the Lord continues to open this door. Please pray that a suitable site will be secured and this work carried forward. In the third place, I want you to see Emmanuel Christian School, a place of evangelization. There is not a more important work than gospel work, fulfilling the Great Commission, going into all the world and preaching the gospel of Christ to see souls gathered into the kingdom of our dear Savior. Yes, we want the children to receive a good education. We desire to show compassion and help them in the basic needs of life. But most of all, we desire to see them soundly saved. This is the great mission of our denomination. Emmanuel Christian School is situated in a predominantly Roman Catholic and Muslim area. Many of the children attending the school are from these other religions. Please pray for the work of the gospel among them, for assemblies, Bible studies, church services, that personal witness of the missionaries in the presentation of the glorious gospel, that many will be converted to Christ and meet us one day in glory at the right hand of the Father. This is our chief burden. Many children have already professed faith in Christ and have shown signs of true grace. Pray for their growth in the things of God, that they will be established in their faith and grow up to be mighty instruments in the hand of God to see their land reached with the gospel. Pray for the young men who have shown a keen desire in evangelism, going out into the community every week to share the message of Christ. Pray for those who have expressed an interest to become full-time workers in the harvest field of their own country, that the Lord will help them and prepare them for the future. It is the vision of our mission board and missionary council to see young people trained in Uganda for the preaching of the word, to be ambassadors in their land for Christ, pastors, teachers, evangelists, church workers, to be raised up and equipped for the task of the Great Commission. Pray for Stephen and Ruth, Noreen and Andrew, for Pastor Andrew, and the local Christians to be given wisdom and grace in such instruction and preparation of these young lives. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are wiped already unto harvest. So as we come to the end of this presentation, thank you for listening to our burden. It is most fitting to conclude with a Bible question. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? May each of us ask that question and rise to the occasion. And may it be said of you and I, as it was said of the dear woman in Mark 14, who came to anoint the head of Christ not long before he went to the cross. She hath done what she could. It is all that God asks from us.
Well, it is a joy to be here tonight, and it's a delight to see so many who have made the effort to come from many different areas. And we trust the Lord has already blessed you through what you've seen in the DVD. I want to bring greetings, first of all, greetings from Andy. All right, we're calling him Uncle Andy, but Mr. Andrew Foster, from Pastor Andrew and the church, and from the staff and the students at Emmanuel Christian School. And I want to express my thanks for your support, for your prayers, for your giving, for myself and also for the work there in the past months, and for the various projects that have already been undertaken, and for those that are in the planning and those that are going to be undertaken. I moved over to Uganda in April. I had been to see the work twice before that. I'd gone in August 2016, and then I went early in 2017 when the first term was starting. But I moved over to stay in April of last year. And I can still remember that day very well whenever I drove across the border from Kenya into Uganda. I was sobbing, and a policeman asked me, was I all right? And he wanted to know, was I as afraid of the police as all that, that I had burst into tears whenever I saw him. But it was nothing to do with that. It was just really the emotion of leaving one place and the excitement of going to another place. But the Lord undertook, and I want to thank and praise him for that. As I look back at my first term in Uganda, the verse that came into my mind is from Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And I was thinking of how it talks about the Lord, and it says he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And even I have to say already the Lord has done exceeding abundantly above what I could have asked or thought there in Uganda. When I arrived, Stephen and Ruth were on the ground, and I want to thank them for the welcome and for how they helped me to settle in. I was just in time for the end of term exams and the end of term assembly. And then that group that you saw from the mission board arrived to encourage us, and we had the official opening of the school and the mission station. After that, things quieted down a little bit. The children were on holiday, so I had time to settle into my new home, into my new location, get used to my new colleagues and the new food that was on offer, and get used to the new routine. And when I arrived, the water, well, we didn't have the borehole, we didn't have the running water, so there were a few new things to learn in connection with that, and in connection with the solar, like not to iron too long or dry your hair for too long, things like that, so that you didn't exhaust the system. But the Lord gave grace and helped me to settle in, and then very soon school was back again, and I was getting to know the new parents and the staff. We have 24 staff. 3 nursery teachers, 8 primary teachers, 4 secondary teachers, 6 support staff, and then 2 teachers who are part-time between the primary school and the secondary school. So a whole new workforce to get to know, and of course the children, those 270 children that you heard about. Out of that 270, the majority, we have about 100 in nursery, over 150 in primary and 12 in the secondary school. So you'll see that we're bottom heavy, if we can put it like that. But it was great getting to know them and getting to know the church family as well there at Emmanuel. And certainly the Lord gave me a peace as I settled in, and the Lord made me feel very much at home as I was there. The routine kept us going. All right, school started off. I was involved in helping with the day-to-day running of the school, and also teaching some English classes in the high school and some English classes to Pastor Andrew. And pray for Pastor Andrew that the Lord would help him. The idea of the English was that it would be a benefit to him as he prepared to undertake various courses of study that the Mission Board had set out for him, and pray for him as he continues to do that. That term, we also had Mr. Eric Graham come to visit to assist with the borehole. We got the water, and then more recently, whenever Andy joined us, he was able to plumb the water into the houses. So just as Stephen was saying before we came in, we now have taps, and they're not just for decoration. There's actually water coming out of our taps. And that might seem a very small thing to you, but it is a tremendous help to us, and it just makes life so much easier for us and also, of course, for the staff and children there on the school site. The next thing that arose was we had a case of sickness. One of the young people associated with the school, who had gone on to teacher training college, came back one evening. He wasn't well, and after a short time we realised he would need hospital attention, so we were able to take him up to Kampala, and he was attended to. And pray for that young man. His name is Wallakira Charles. Pray that God would touch him and heal him, and that the Lord would enable him to go back and to complete the course of study that he was doing now this year. My work permit came through in July, and early August I was able to go and collect it. And again, that was a token for good. Somebody said it was record time, really, that it had come through so very, very quickly. So the Lord was doing more, really, than I could have asked or thought. And then, of course, a group from my home church here decided to come over and visit me, and that was also a great blessing as they came to install the play park, and they'll tell you more about that in due course. The third term, whenever we started back in September, I was on my own. Stephen and Ruth had come home here to do deputation, and that meant then that maybe I had more responsibilities than before. But the Lord undertook, and it has been good to get to know more of the running of the school, the buying of the supplies, the office, the finances, and all those types of things, and also to have the opportunity to teach in the Sunday school, to lead the staff Bible studies, to do some of the assemblies, and to share the Word of God maybe in a more formal way there on the school compound. And I would ask you to pray that as the Word of God goes forth every day, and it does go forth at least twice every day, pray that the Lord would use His Word, and that those who are there, that they would really hear, and that their hearts would be opened, and that they would come to trust in Christ as Lord and Saviour. Most of them are from a Muslim or a Roman Catholic background, and really you have to start at zero. You assume they know nothing, and you have to really teach them the very, very basics. But pray that the Lord would open their hearts, and that they would come to an understanding of the gospel, and that in due course that they would come and put their faith and trust in Christ. Pray for those who are saved, that as they grow up, that they would grow in grace and in their knowledge of the Saviour. Now, November was an exciting time because Andy came and he joined us there in Emmanuel. He was accompanied by Dr. Campbell. It's good to see Dr. Campbell here tonight. They settled in very quickly. There was a lot for them to do. Andy said he would hit the ground running, and he did. And he really has done a tremendous amount in the very short time that he has been there. He got the water plumbed into the houses. He got a floor put into what was a cow shed, then a garage, and he turned it into a workshop. He helped supervise the boys as they repainted the school for the new school year. And he also relocated my office, moved it across so that it freed up some space that we want to renovate. And in the past few weeks, he's been busy working on the school kitchen. So you can tell he hasn't been sitting around. He's been very busy indeed. And pray for him that the Lord would bless him in these weeks as he tries to complete the kitchen and then move on to the next project. I had the opportunity and privilege of having Dr. Campbell over, and then the Reverend Lyle Boyd from Spain. They were there to supply the pulpit while Stephen was away, and also to teach Pastor Andrew and my job was just to help them along and guide them and maybe give them some support here and there. But we're glad of people who come to do that type of work, and we pray that God will bless them for it. Third term, the pressure was really on to get the licence for the school. The beginning of last year, there was a circular went out to the education offices that they were to close all schools without a licence. And they came round, they did visit our school, and they said, we will give you time. So they gave us time, and Stephen started the process, started working on it, and then whenever I came over, we were still looking at it, and then the people from the education office told us, now the circular has come round again, it's already there, and in January 2018, if your licence is not there, you won't be able to continue. So the pressure was on, but we got to work, we pursued it further, we put the pressure on their side, and we thank the Lord that the licence came through and it was granted, and that was a tremendous answer to prayer. You saw in the DVD mention of land for expansion. That was another thing that came up just towards the end of the year. We did need land, and we inquired about the land around the school, and there was really only one side or one area that was a possibility. And we thank God that the people who own it were willing to sell, and that the finance was there to buy it. And we're thankful that that has gone through, and that that land is available, and we have it to use. The Lord has done far exceeding abundantly above all that I could have asked or thought. We closed term with a speech day, and we had a tremendous turnout of parents. We've had the parents in three times this year. They were in for the official opening, they were in for the end of the second term, and they came then for the speech day. And every time the parents come, it is an opportunity to present the gospel, not just to the children, but to their parents, their friends, their family members who come. And pray that even as we do that, that the school and the church would become more and more accepted in the community, and that people would be more willing to come in under the sound of the gospel. The week I was leaving, they were dropping electricity poles in front of the school. That was a very exciting thing, because there had been no indication really that electricity would be coming anytime soon. And then we saw these workmen on the road and these big holes being dug out and these poles dropping in. So Andy, being Andy, went flying out to ask them, when would the wires go up? And they told us the end of January or the beginning of February. So let's pray that it really is like that. I have to confess that when the Lord first burdened me about Uganda, or put a burden on my heart for Uganda, I was like Nehemiah, and I prayed over it. And then I would have to say, as Nehemiah said, so it pleased the king to send me. That was how it came about. But when I first felt that the Lord was calling me to go to Uganda, my first reaction was, I couldn't do it. And that was really how I felt. And in a sense, I was right, because we know that the Lord told his disciples, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, ye can do nothing. And it's right, I couldn't do it. But you see, the Lord is able to do far exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And with his help, I was able to move. And I have to remember that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And maybe there's somebody here tonight and the Lord is burdening you to do something for him, either here at home or further afield. And maybe you're saying, I couldn't. I remember when I was first called to go to Kenya, I asked advice from someone, and he gave me very good advice. He said, well, you have to consider, is the Lord really saying it? And then he said, you have to ask yourself, is this the right time? And then he said, if you believe the answer to both of those things is yes, then you have to say, well, then, is it really impossible? Is it really impossible? And if the Lord is calling you, and if the Lord tells you he wants you to do something for him now, then can you really say, I can't? Or is it that you're really saying, I won't? And you know, that was what I had to ask myself. Was it that I couldn't? Or was it that I wasn't able to move? Or was it that I wasn't willing to move? And I trust that the Lord will make us all willing in the day of his power.
Life. would like to thank Reverend Park and the session here in Ballymoney for the opportunity to take part in your missionary weekend. Ruth and I deeply value all of the prayers and support of the Lord's people for us as we seek to serve him in Uganda. We are making our way through our deputation meetings. At present, we have just over 20 meetings still to conduct, and that will take us as far as Easter, and then, God willing, we hope to return to Uganda around the end of April. The work in Uganda presents us with many opportunities to preach and teach the gospel through the regular church services and the open-air meetings, and as we meet with people in their own homes. And how much we need the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may live in such a way that becomes the gospel, and then be able to declare that gospel in the power of the Holy Ghost. And it is the pure word of the gospel that Uganda needs. One of Uganda's greatest afflictions is the prevalence of false gospels. Gospels that leave people in their sin and give them a false hope of eternal life. The story of Christian missionary work in Uganda really began in 1875 when the famous explorer Henry Stanley visited the Keen of Baganda, the dominant tribe in Uganda. And Stanley, he recorded his thoughts in writing, and then subsequently they were published in the Daily Telegraph in Britain. And he said, "Oh, that some pious, practical missionary would come here. Such a one, if he can be found, would become the saviour of Africa. Now, where is there in all the pagan world a more promising field for a mission than Uganda? Here, gentlemen, is your opportunity. Embrace it." The challenge of Stanley's remarks received an immediate response. 3 days later, the Church Missionary Society received a letter with an offer of £5,000 if they would organise a missionary enterprise to the Lake Victoria region. Among the first men who came forward to go to Uganda was the Presbyterian Alexander Mackay. As he prepared to leave for Uganda, he said, "I want to remind the committee that within 6 months they will probably hear that one of us is dead." After further explaining the likelihood of deaths among the missionaries, Mackay stated, "When that news comes, do not be cast down, but send someone else immediately to take the vacant place." It was on the 26th of June, 1877, that Lieutenant Shergold Smith and the Reverend C.T. Wilson set foot in Uganda. They were the first Christian missionaries to do so. They were taken immediately to meet the King. And the King asked if they had brought the book. He wanted to know that they had brought the Bible. And the Word of God had reached Uganda. And those pioneer missionaries were men of the book. They overcame what are for us unimaginable difficulties, and most of them gave their lives in bringing the gospel to Uganda. And the work that they started with such zeal and faith and courage is not over. Today, Uganda needs the book more than ever. And so our prayer is that the mission station that we have the privilege to minister in will be a preaching station, that it will uphold and declare the standards of God's word, and it will not compromise those standards or that gospel message in any way. And also by the training up of young men for the gospel ministry, we pray that the mission station at Emmanuel will also be a sending station, sending preachers out across Uganda and East Africa, holding forth the word of life. I'd like to leave with you some verses from 2 Timothy that sum up the spiritual need in Uganda. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. And we pray that it will be so for the Lord's sake.
I'd like to thank the Lord's servants for the reports tonight and the choirs who have taken part. Thank you in the Saviour's name. And this weekend there is a special emphasis on Uganda because providentially we have our brother Reverend Miller and his wife here at home, and we have our sister Nori McAfee at home. And so it's good to have these real live missionaries with us at the weekend to participate. And since making that DVD, and it is the first time that it has been shown publicly in Northern Ireland, we are thankful to the Lord that provision for the kitchen for the school has come in, and our congregation in Ballymena has funded that. And also we heard tonight about the land and just adjacent to the school, if you were looking at the front entrance to the left hand side, there is a plot there, 3.5 acres or so, that came onto the market for us, and we were able to purchase that, and the money came in. And there was a man from our Lisburn church who funded that. I want to thank those who have been going to Uganda and giving that pulpit supply. Dr. Campbell, who's here tonight for the months that he served the Lord there in November. Reverend Lyle Boyd from Spain, who was there in December and over the Christmas time. And the Reverend Jonathan Crane, who is there right now. And from all accounts and pictures that we're getting, is having a good time serving the Lord in Uganda. Remember also, next month we will have Mr. Colin Maxwell going out to serve the Lord in Uganda. We come to the announcements, and I want to try and make these announcements as quickly as possible, so I will talk quickly, if that's okay with you. I want to welcome you, the congregations here tonight, present with us in this meeting, the ones that are listening in to sermon audio tonight, sitting in your home, wherever you are, welcome in the Saviour's name. And we have youth fellowships that come to the Friday night meeting. I want to thank your church for sending the young people. This is a good night for young people to come and to be challenged by a missionary weekend like this. We have Missionary Council representatives also with us, members of the Mission Board, ministers and elders, and students from the Whitfield College. It's good to see our brother, Mr. George McConnell. George, for many, many years, was involved greatly, deeply, so many descriptions that we could use concerning George in the Lord's work and in missionary endeavour. And I think all of our lives, those that have known George over the years, we have been influenced by his example, and our lives have been impacted, and we thank you for that, Brother George. We have a young man sitting at the front here called Nathan Nugent. And is this your first time visiting Northern Ireland? And he comes from a place called Limerick. All right, so we had the opportunity to go down to Limerick in November and preach at a gospel meeting for his dad, Jerry Nugent. Some of you will know Jerry. He's been here many years ago. He's testified here. And when I was there in November, they were asking the question, is there something maybe that Nathan could come up and visit, that might be an encouragement to him, and immediately thought of the missionary weekend, and so here he is. Nathan, you just want to stand up. We want to welcome you in the Saviour's name to Ballymoney tonight. Yes. If I got Stephen to stand beside him, you will discover that he's a wee bit like King Saul. He's head and shoulders above most people. He's 6'4", rugby player, hurley player, gave up the hurley so that he could serve the Lord and do more evangelistic work along with his dad. So welcome, Nathan, in the Lord's name. I want to thank the media team. A lot of work's been going on preparing for this weekend. A lot of things need to be uploaded so that we can broadcast and record and all that kind of thing. I want to thank you sincerely for all that background work. We thank the ladies for the tea. Tea will be served tonight when this meeting is over. And the ladies always rise to the cause. And we are glad to have the Mission Board Chairman with us this evening, the Reverend Harris, and we thank him for coming tonight. We know that he's staying somewhere overnight, and his wife is with him, and tomorrow she has a birthday. It's a very significant birthday. By significant, you can divide it by 10. Now, I would never say how old a lady is, so you can kind of guess she's either 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. You know, you just look at her, and you try and get the figure and make sure it's on the right side if you're going to err in any way. And Mrs. Maneri, I think she has celebrated a birthday that I didn't hear about until after it was over. And Mrs. Maneri, I'm not going to say how old you are either, but it's significant, you know, along those figures that I've mentioned. And you can look at her and have a wee guess as well and try to guess who's the oldest, Mrs. Harris or Mrs. Maneri, and let me know what conclusion you come to. Can I make a prayer request? And it's for a dear friend that we've got to know over the years, probably 27 years ago, and it's Pastor Eugene Grosser from Romania, and he has been battling, as many as you know, with the awful disease of cancer, and he is poorly at the present time and very weak and feeling the burden of his condition. I want you to remember him, please, before the throne of grace. There are mission trips. Can I say this quickly? You can see the information on our website about mission trips that are going to take place in the will of God this year. We have done trips before to Kenya, to Uganda, to Spain, other places. And this year, there is a trip going to Kenya in the month of August. There is a trip going to Spain. It's just after the springtime, if memory's right. And there's a trip going to Australia, God willing. And if you're interested in these things, you can contact the chairman of our board, see myself. We can get information to you. I want you to pray for the pastor's conference that will take place in the will of God in the month of April. And we've been asked to go out and do that for a man called Pastor Joel. I met him 2.5 years ago. I think he was the first Ugandan man that I met and sat and talked to in a pizza place in Kampala. He had loaned his vehicle to give us transportation when we visited Uganda for the first time. And I can remember sitting there at the table, and he just looked at me and he said, "We'd like you to take over our churches." And I said, "How many churches are you talking about?" He said, "70. Well, we thought that that would be a wee bit much to take over 70 churches. We're taking over one church, and that's a process that we are facing just at the moment. And we're enjoying getting to know the folks at Emmanuel. But we thought we could help him, maybe with a conference. And so he wrote to the mission board and asked if someone from the board could come and do the conference. And the board asked me if I would go. We thought we could link up with the Youth Council, and the Reverend David Brown, the chairman of the Youth Council, will also be travelling. So we'll be going around the middle of April. The Reverend Harris and other board members will be joining us towards the end of my visit, and then they'll be spending a little time in Uganda and going on into Kenya. We would appreciate your prayerful remembrance. I want you to pray for Kenya, that the Lord would send forth the labourers into the harvest field. We were making this request last night at our own prayer meeting, very conscious that We have had a missionary who has come home to Northern Ireland from Kenya. We have another missionary who has been burdened to go to the neighbouring country of Uganda after 17 years of faithful service there. We have another missionary who is retiring in the month of April, and she will be going home, her sister Kathy, to the United States of America. And we have other missionaries, and because of health issues, they've been home from Kenya, the Reverend Mrs. Patterson, for about a year and a half. And so Margaret's pressing on and doing her bit for the Lord there. And we believe that the Lord still has a purpose for the Free Church in Kenya. And there are doors that are opening up, and there is a cry coming from various places, come and help us. And individual churches are appealing to us, can you come and allow us to come under the registration of the Free Presbyterian Church in Africa. So that's something to pray about, that the Lord would raise up labourers for the mission field in Kenya. Can I mention also a commissioning service for Mr. Noel Shields? It's on Friday the 19th of January, and that will be in Annalong. And if you can go there and support the Lord's servant as he recommences the work of evangelism here in Northern Ireland, well then, that would be greatly appreciated. The United Children's Camp, Humphreys at Rathmore in Larne, 30th of July to the 3rd of August. I can get you an application form for your child to go. You can download it from our missionary website. We do have offerings. The offerings this weekend will be going to the missionary works that are represented over the weekend. And I just want to rejoice with you in God's provision. It has been amazing the way the Lord has been financing his will. The work in Uganda is a new work to us, and it's a great, we've got a great vision for what the Lord is going to do there in time to come. Mr. Miller has spoken a little bit about that and the burden that he has to see the work develop. But overall, in the Lord's work and the receiving of gifts recently, the Lord has been providing so many needs. Let me just read you a little extract that I feel I can from our mission board minutes. And it came under the title of Thanksgiving for Recent Gifts, and this is just going back to December. The treasurer highlighted some of the amazing contributions received. A gift of £12,000 came in for a particular missionary, not in one of the African countries, but another missionary. A gift for Nepal from the North American Mission Board of £18,364 was received. Another gift of £5,000 for other areas of the work. A gift of £5,500 was received from Tandragee for the Bible Christian Faith Church Academy. A total of £8,900 in gifts came in for Uganda. The school received £4,000 in gifts. It was reported that we received a gift of £10,000 for the land purchase. The secretary reported on the Missionary Council projects for Uganda. A gift of £6,000 was received from a pensioner for the community borehole. Another anonymous gift of £3,000 came in for Uganda. Many have signed up to sponsoring children at Emmanuel School, including our Lurgan Church, who will sponsor 10 children. Ballymena Youth Fellowship are purchasing 60 chairs for Emmanuel Church, and a separate gift of £850 came in for the same purpose. OMA are providing firefighting and first aid equipment, staff furniture and bed sheets. A gift of £1,000 came in towards school books. What a wonderful way to end the year, giving that report of God's provision. And just today, just this evening, before I came over to the meeting, I received an email from Jonathan McNally from our Toronto church. And in the email, he said that the DVD was shown. That's why I said this is the first time in Northern Ireland. It was shown in Toronto, and they received gifts from the congregation. And he specifies the amount that he understands has already been sent over to Northern Ireland for the work in Uganda. And he speaks of how the Sunday school want to get involved in a project there. So we are greatly encouraged. I want to thank everyone concerned for your generous giving. We're going to have the offering now. Let's give as the Lord burdens our hearts. as the Lord has enabled us. And as we receive the offering, we're singing together the hymn, "Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best." Let me say that Jeff and June Scott, they rarely miss this missionary weekend. They travel all the way from Enniskillen, and recently their little grandson Jensen has been very ill. But the news is good. He is improving, and they believe that treatment can be administered to him that will be helpful. So remember this little boy. Continue to remember him in prayer, please. Also, they consider Christ 2018 outreach in Ireland. There's little prayer cards. Take them and remember the outreach that will be done in the incoming year. And there's a missionary prayer calendar. Take that, and every day there's a section of the work to remember before the Lord. I began to get worried when Dr. Kearns disappeared, and I was beginning to look around to see what minister could maybe preach tonight. But he's back with us. Brother, I just want to say something to you, if that's all right. Come up and stand beside me. Come on. He's really a very shy man. You wouldn't believe it.
I wouldn't. There you are. Actually, get Nathan to stand beside you, brother.
He was standing beside you earlier. Brother, we appreciate you starting these meetings 50 years ago. And we had a little chat in our session and committee. And I want to give you a plaque, and I'm going to read what it says. It's a big plaque because everything we wanted to write on it, I had to make it big. So it started small, and then it got bigger and bigger.
Like me.
And it begins just with a wee text of scripture where it says, For from you sounded out the word of the Lord in every place. And that's been the burden of these missionary weekends, that the gospel would go out. So there's a wee picture, wee engraved picture of the church. So the church and the word of God and the world just tying in with the text of Scripture. And this is how it reads, and brother, we mean this with all of our hearts. To our dearly beloved brother in Christ, the Hebron congregation esteems you very highly in love for your work's sake. We praise Almighty God for the many gifts bestowed upon you in his infinite mercy, and not least for your vision for Christ's great commission. We have reached a milestone as we hold our 50th Missionary Weekend Convention. Thank you sincerely for starting these special services when in Cabra, and for being our conference speaker this year. You have been a godly example, influence, visionary, and mentor. Only eternity will reveal the full impact these weekends have been in the furtherance of the gospel and for the glory of our God. And this is presented to Dr. Alan Kearns by myself on behalf of the session, committee, and congregation of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, and is presented on Friday, the 12th of January 2018. Jesus said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So I'd just like to hand that over to you, and a small tangible gift as well. Everything inside it will explain itself.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. The Lord bless you. I was going to do that a little bit earlier so that he would get time just to settle before he comes to preach the word, but he will get time to settle just now, because we're going to ask Andrew to come and bring a short report, visit to Emmanuel Christian School, Uganda, the Play Park project. And it's good to have Andrew just taking part and speaking on behalf of the group that went. And just as he comes, this here Samsung phone was found in the lady's toilet. If it's yours, claim it. If not, I'm going to auction it tomorrow night for missionary work.
All right, well, it's good to be here. And tonight, I attend the church here in Ballymoney, and maybe you already guessed, that's my dad. I was part of the team that went out to Uganda in August, on the Play Park project. And there's one night, part of the story was already explained. One night Dad, he came back and he said about this here burden that they had to do this, build this Play Park out in Uganda for the children. And that's my daughter that's making a lot of noise. But as soon as Dad said about it, me and my brother David, we both said, well, we'll go out and we'll build it. And that was set, we were going to go out and build this here. And I've always had an interest in missionary work, but more on the practical side. I've been to Kenya before, I've been to Romania. And so when this opportunity came around, it was right up my street. So we started out designing. We weren't sure exactly what we were going to build. We started designing. The more we looked at it, we realised this is too big of a job for the three of us. So a few other people from the church showed a bit of interest, and that's when Nigel and Hugh joined the team. And here's a picture of us at the equator, the team, when we were over in Uganda. Dad, he's not in the picture because he's taking the picture. And this is the plan that we set out with to build this play park. So there was a lot of organising to do to get ready for our arrival. It's not like here at home where you can nip down to the local builder's yard and grab whatever material you want that they have in stock. You'll see here in a wee second what their builder yards look like, so if anybody, any joiners here, you'll get a shock. But here is one of them, what it looks like. And at this point, I just want to thank Noreen for all her hard work, driving from pillar to post to source all the material. It was not an easy job. And also our brother Eric Graham, who I think he is here tonight as well. It couldn't have been possible without him, because before we went out to Uganda, he had already put the foundations down for the play park, which if he had not done that, I don't think we would have been able to have got it finished in the time. So Uganda, when we arrived, one of the first things you'd realise is it doesn't quite have the same roads and road infrastructures we have in Northern Ireland. And most of the roads look something just like that, just a dirt track. A few years ago, our youth fellowship, we went to an outdoors activity centre called Todd's Leap, and we all paid good money to get an off-road experience. But going to Uganda, you get that there every day, and it's free. So, during our time in Uganda, we went out with three tasks: to build the play park, to put up a volleyball net, and to install a projector and screen. The play park, it took up most of our time because it was quite a big project for the five of us, and there was quite a few people back home and some members of the team who kept saying, "Are you sure you'll have enough time to build it all?" But thankfully we did. A few days in, we had one side of the play frame set up, and we thought, well, we'll put a swing up to let the kids play on. And you wouldn't believe the reaction to see a swing. They'd never seen a swing before. And the joy in their faces, just seeing them swing there, made the whole project worthwhile, never mind all the other parts that we still had to add to it. Each day we worked from early morning to sunset. Some nights we stayed on working through in the dark using our phones, the torches on our phones. You've seen that on the video earlier. And eventually we got it completed, and we had some time then at the end left where we were able to take some of the children who were left behind that didn't go home for the break, and we took them out on a day trip. And this is just a wee picture of them on a bouncy castle at a little amusement park that we brought them to, and they'd never seen a bouncy castle or anything like that before. One of the highlights was getting to spend some time with the children from the school. And if it was possible, there's a few of them you would have just taken home in your suitcase. A wee family in particular, I think you'll hear more about them tomorrow night. You could have taken them all home. And they love getting their picture taken, particularly seem to like selfies. Maybe they don't really see themselves very often, so they like to get their picture taken. Two of the evenings, we were able to use some of the leftover offcuts of the wood to make a little bonfire. And we're able, that's the bonfire there in one of the evenings, and we're able to light that there and spend some time with the children just singing choruses. And that was a really special occasion for all the members of the team. Here are just a few pictures of the finished play park. And the volleyball net as well. There was old wooden posts you would have seen in the video earlier. We were able to source out steel posts, got them painted, got them concreted in as a more permanent structure. And then we were also putting in the PowerPoint, or the projector, and the screen. And as you can see in the second picture there, health and safety is not quite what it is over here. So before going to Uganda, we had decided, well, Dad's the minister, he's going to preach when we're over there. But on the Sunday, 15 minutes before the service was to start, Pastor Andrew said to my dad, "Right, I'd like some of these boys to do a children's talk." So there weren't many volunteers for the task, and eventually it fell on me. But thankfully, I keep all my Sunday school notes on my phone. So I had all my notes in and was able to do a little object lesson with the children just for a few minutes in the meeting. Now, in God's work, there are many different jobs to do. Not everyone can be a preacher. Not everyone can do a children's talk. Not everyone can stand up and give a word of testimony. But we all have our own unique jobs to do. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." The passage goes on to say, "If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" We all have a job to do as a body of Christ. You maybe don't feel that you can preach or you can testify, but maybe you are good with your hands. You've seen there's loads of other projects to get involved with, particularly in Uganda. There's a team from our Macrophilt church that are heading out in February to do some work. And Maybe you think, I can't preach. I'm not good with my hands. Well, you can give. You can help to financially support our missionaries, those teams that are going out, help to support them. But most importantly, you can pray. You can remember our missionaries each day in prayer, asking them for God's help for their day-to-day tasks and for His hand of protection on them. In God's work, there is a job for everyone, and that includes you. Just before I finish, there's a short video that I want to show us of the play park. You've seen a little bit on the video before, but this just lets you see around the play park and the kids playing on it. Hopefully it works. Thank you.
Purple, stand back.
For going to Uganda and doing this. The children have had immense pleasure, as you can imagine. So much so that 4 months later, the steel hooks that the swings are on, they're almost worn through, and we have to get replacements for them and send them back with Noreen. So thank you in the Lord's name. When I was mentioning the pulpit supply earlier, it's Barry that's going out in February. Colin is going out in March. And as Andrew said, there's a team from Macrofelt. There's 5 joiners and an electrician, I think, and they're going to do some practical work. We tell you these things tonight because of what Andrew said. You know, you might not be a missionary going full-time, but you might be able to go for a little period and do something on the mission field. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Dr. Cairns, we are delighted that you are the speaker this weekend because it is the 50th time that we've come to have these meetings. We want to welcome Dr. Cairns to the meeting tonight and to this convention in the Saviour's name. And we're going to loose him and let him go. And we pray that he'll have God's anointing tonight. God bless you, brother.
I think really it was my grandfather started these, because there's no way I could be old enough to have been here 50 years ago. First of all, let me thank the Minister Session Committee and the folk for their kindness. Didn't expect a plaque or anything else. In fact, I was about to say when I heard, was it you said it, brother? Thank Mr. Park for having you here. We're glad to be here. Well, I was about to say, speak for yourself, because I really would prefer to have been sitting down beside Joan. In all the 50 years, this is the first time I've ever spoken at this. It was my job to get other people to speak, and I was very happy to do that. Actually, I had very little to do with it. I had a great deal of help in those days from our missionaries. I'm not going into anything of the history of the whole thing. But I do need to say that the real reason why the missionary weekend commenced was that at that time there was a particular interest in starting the missionary enterprise of the Free Church. You may or may not know that much of the impetus for the ecumenical movement started and was fostered on the mission field. And it was through missionaries that there was a tremendous push for the apostasy of what is now the World Council of Churches. And we found that many missionary societies were compromising left, right, and center, and especially were they compromising with the charismatic movement and with the various ramifications that that had toward the Church of Rome. So with that in mind, and of course I was part of that because I had the job at one time of chairing the commission that actually finally set up the mission board, and my wife was a founder member of the missionary council, and we had a lot of contacts with the folk who were involved in missionary work at that time. But because of that, we felt there was a need for a focal point for the missionary endeavor, and so the missionary weekend commenced. I had a lot of help in the early days. Victor Maxwell was a big help. Valerie Shaw, who is now confined, I think, to bed completely with MS in her old age, but she was a very big help, probably as far as missionary vision went. I don't think I've ever really met anybody quite like her. And when we lost her to the Free Church some years ago, I felt it was a very, very sore loss, because she was a tremendously gifted lady, and her vision was a very big help in getting this work going. I think we need to emphasize all that, because the ecumenical movement today is more powerful than ever, and I have to say that I think we have fallen down in the job. I don't think that the Free Church kept up, as it ought to have, fighting the ecumenical movement as it is, not as it was in the 1960s, but as it is today. And I trust that we will never lose the desire to stand for the gospel against the apostasy of the false gospel that is being produced. We heard about it already in Uganda, and that is far from unique. That's true wherever you go, and certainly the need for the ministry of the Free Church is as great, possibly greater than ever. And I would trust that we will be found not wanting in this day of great need to get out the word of the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're turning this evening to the book of Exodus chapter 4. The book of Exodus chapter 4. And for the sake of time, we're going to read just the first few verses of the chapter. Verses 1 through 5 of Exodus chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee." As I thought of the meeting this evening, the only text of Scripture that lodged in my heart and mind is found in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. When I was growing up, this was a text of Scripture that missionaries very frequently employed, and certainly one that the Lord used to speak to me. What is that in thine hand? These words were part of a conversation that started between the Lord and Moses, When the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of the children of Israel, I have heard their cry, and I am come down to deliver them. And then he repeated that, but instead of saying merely, I have come down to deliver them, he said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses was terrified. You could understand why. He was an 80-year-old man who had spent the last 40 years in Midian in the backside of the desert, tending his few sheep. Terrified because 40 years earlier, when it appeared that everything would have been in his favor, he had sought to help the children of Israel along the way to freedom, and he had utterly failed, with the result that he had had to flee for his life and live those years as a fugitive outside of the land. So when the Lord came and said, come, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to lead the people out, not only was he terrified, but so terrified that he produced every excuse. To him they would have been real reasons. To the Lord they were excuses. Every excuse that he could muster as to why he should avoid this assignment. We have read of one of them tonight when he said, Lord, the people won't believe or hearken to my voice, and they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. They'll not believe that God has sent me. And that was when the Lord said to him, in the words of this question, what is that in thine hand? And Moses must have been a little taken aback at such a question. What is it you have in your hand? Well, it was nothing. A rod, that's just a stick. Nothing. What on earth could that have to do with this tremendous commission that the Lord was laying upon him? What is that in thine hand? He said, I have no doubt, in a sense of total surprise, just a rod. Nothing. But it was enough. I'm not going to go into the history of that rod tonight. When you read the rest of the story from Exodus 4 onwards, through the mighty saga of the leading of the children of Israel out of bondage, and then later on, the various things that happened as God used the rod, you'll understand why I say, though it was nothing in the hand of Moses, was everything in the hand of God. It was enough. You see, the Lord had to teach Moses something. He has to teach this to every servant of Christ. I think Noreen has alluded to this in other words, but the very same truth. Every servant of Christ has to learn this. And a person who thinks he's serving Christ and he has never learned it is fooling himself. He's not serving the Lord at all. It's what Paul told the Corinthians. The excellency of the power is of God and not of men. That's what Moses had to learn. Now, the scene that we have read tonight, never forget, took place at the burning bush. That was where the Lord came down in flames of fire into that bush. And the miracle was that though the fire burned, the bush was not consumed. Seeing that, Moses turned aside from what he was about to do and where he was about to go. He turned aside to see this great sight, to understand what was happening. And it was then that he met with the Lord. There are three things that are essential to Christian service. and you find them here. The first is the vision of the Lord's glory. For that's what was at the bush. Without going into any detail, we find in the book of Deuteronomy, my memory's right, chapter 33, it says that the Lord dwelt in the bush. The Hebrew verb that's translated dwelt is the root word that gives us the word Shekinah, for the Shekinah glory of God. That's what was appearing to Moses that day, the vision of the Lord's glory. And that was quickly followed by the voice of the Lord's grace. For the Lord not only said to Moses, put your shoes from off your feet, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground, but he immediately went on to speak words of gospel grace. And he said to Moses, I have come down in grace and power to deliver my people out of the bondage of Pharaoh and of the Egyptians. And then, as I've indicated, immediately following that, he said, I'm sending you. And that was his vocation to the Lord's service. Let me make this clear to you, that there is no serving God apart from a vision of his glory. I'll have more to say about that just before we close tonight. But I want you to get that right up front. Moses, later on, even after he'd seen all this and experienced all this, later on, finding him crying, Lord, show me thy glory. This is where you start and this is where you continue in the work, whether it's in the ministry or whether it's on the mission field or in whatever sphere of service. I fear that God's people, as a generality, have their eyes so much downward to the earth, so much filled with the glitter and the glamour of this world, or even just of the affairs of this world, that we have little time, as Moses did, to turn aside. Let me interject, you'll never see the glory of God until you do turn aside. Take time to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, to hear his voice with authority, proclaiming, I have come down to deliver on a great mission of saving grace. And here's your calling. You have a part in that work. In some ways, we're all like Moses. As Andrew said, we're not all called to preach. We're not all called to any prominent ministry or any public ministry. But we are all called to do something for God. And that means that what I've said about Moses is not confined to him or to preachers, but it applies to you, to behold his glory, to hear his voice, and to know his direction and his will for your life. I said we're like Moses. And Mr. Park told me I had to be brief. I didn't think ministers were allowed to curse. And that's like swearing, to say to me, you've got to be brief. In Greenville, they would laugh at you. But anyway, I'm going to be brief, believe it or not. We're all like Moses in this. We are called to a great work. We are called to a great work. What does the Lord say? Go work today in my vineyard. Whether it's in full-time service, as it's often called, or whether it's not, what is this great work? It is the work to lead a captive people to the freedom of God's redemption. That's what Moses was called to do. When God called me to the ministry, that's what I was called to do.
these various preachers and missionaries, that's what they're called to do. But that's what every Sabbath school teacher's called to do. Every children's worker's called to do. Every witnesser for Christ is called to do. We are all involved in this one massive, mighty, worldwide task. And it is the task of bringing people from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from sin and Satan unto God, from the broad road to hell, to the straight and narrow path that leads to glory, to the freedom of divine redemption. Now, all around us, people are enslaved to sin and to Satan. Not just the alcoholic and the drug addict. Yeah, they're slaves. But all around us, men and women outside of Christ are slaves to sin and slaves to Satan. And in every hand, they're hearing the cry, freedom. This is one of the favorite words of politicians, freedom, 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 freedom. And they're being offered political freedom, the freedom of the ballot box, the economic freedom, all these freedoms, and at the end of the day, none of them ever meets the need of the hearts of men and women. Because they fail to deal with the fundamental problem. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ does that. And believers, and only believers, have the gospel. Now stop and think of that. You see the vision. You're told in your program, lift up your eyes and look. You see the vision. You see the need. We have the answer. I think some time ago in preaching in this pulpit, I quoted an old Methodist preacher who was preaching on the text that they turned the world upside down. And he had a wonderful outline that I've never forgotten since ever I read it, because I liked it. He said, the world's the wrong way up. It needs to be turned upside down. And his third and final point was, and we are the men to do it. You know, that was a driving conviction in the great Methodist revivals. We are the men to do it. Why? Because we're anything great? No. Wesley was the first man actually to bring along fairly uneducated men. Train them basically and send them out to preach the gospel. It was a scandal in his day that people who had not been to university, who hadn't got their degree, who weren't trained theologically, it was a scandal that these people would be sent out with the gospel. But they went because they were believers and they had the word that turned England and ultimately the world upside down. You remember the words of Nehemiah? I am doing a great work. And every person who's involved in the work of seeing sinners set free and brought into redemption's liberty, they are doing a great work. But it's a great work also because we're called to confront the mighty powers of sin and darkness that hold men in bondage and that will do anything to keep them in bondage. Moses had his Pharaoh and all the religious phonies that were with Pharaoh. And he had to deal with them. Nehemiah had his opponents in Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem. And every man who has ever set out to do a work for God will have the opposition of the world, and so will we. This is one of the things that makes this a great work. Because it's a battle from beginning to end. And what makes it even worse? We have to deal with the natural unbelief and the carnal reactions of the very people that you're sent to serve. See, Moses didn't only have Pharaoh to deal with. Moses had his own people to deal with. And you'll see again and again how they rose up against him, both when he was in Egypt and after he'd led them out of Egypt. And they gave him a very tough time. Now that kind of opposition from within makes the work of God very difficult. It's difficult to be a pastor. You may not think so. You see the preacher on a Sunday. You think, well, here's an easy job. You don't see one-tenth of a minister's work. You don't know one-tenth of what comes across his desk. And it's a hard job. And I would imagine it would be even more difficult in a foreign culture and in a foreign field. It was a very famous, he's still alive, I think if he's not, he's not long dead, a preacher who said what you need to be a pastor, and you could say this of a missionary, and any preacher of the gospel, he says you need three things. You need the mind of a scholar. I'm not quite sure about that one. Not many of us might qualify. He said, you need the mind of a scholar. You need the heart of a child. And you need the hide of a rhinoceros. And there's an awful lot of truth in that. The hide of the rhinoceros particularly. And when you face that opposition, you hear the hiss in your ear, give it up. Give it up. They're not worth it. There's a preacher I have mentioned before, and if you haven't listened to his sermon, 10 Shekels in a Shirt, I strongly advise you to do it. It could be life-changing for you. You'll find it in Sermon Audio, among their classic sermons. By a missionary to Africa, from America, his name was Paris Reed Head. And he mentioned that when he went to Africa, he went there, and he didn't realize it, but he was actually going as a humanist, though he thought he was going as a Christian. And he defined humanism as the philosophy that sees the chief end of man as being happy, the happiness of man. And he saw these poor Africans, and oh, how they needed somebody to come and give them the truth and let them be saved and save them from hell, make their lives better and provide for them and all that sort of thing. And he says, I got there and I found that they were sinners, stubborn, hateful, just the very same sinners as I had back in America. Not one bit different. And he felt that God had tricked him. And so he lamented to God and said, why did you bring me here? They're not worth it. And he said it was then the Lord spoke to him. And this is when he learned what it was to be a real missionary. No, they're not. But I'm worth it. Because you're not here for mere human betterment. You're here for the glory of God. That changed everything. When you feel like giving up, this is why the vision of the Lord's glory is so absolutely essential to anybody who's ever going to do anything for God. For when the pressure goes on, the desire of the heart is, I want to get away from it all. But when you have the vision of the Lord's glory, that will keep you at it. We are called to do a great work. But when you're called to that work, as Noreen said and as Moses said even before her, you feel utterly inadequate for the task. Moses said back in chapter 3, verse 11, who am I? That was a good question. Lord, you're looking for somebody to take these people out to do this great work. Who am I to do that work? I'm 80 years old. 40 years ago when I was younger, full of vitality, when I had the physical and mental strength, and what's more, I had the social position, I had the resources, I had all these things at my hand. I tried and I failed utterly. If ever you're dealing with a failure, look at Moses. He says, who am I? I can never convince them that I've come from God. I can never succeed. He goes on to say, Lord, I'm not even a speaker. I'm not eloquent. You're telling me to go before Pharaoh. I'm not eloquent. Finally, he says, Lord, look, send somebody else. Not me. Anybody but me. Those are the excuses. And I think everybody who feels the call of God has to go through something like that. Who am I? And I have to say, to this very day, and I'm trying to think back, my memory is excellent, but my math is pathetic. So I'm trying to get this right. Fifty-seven years ago, when the Lord first spoke to me about the work of the ministry, and he did it in a way that I could not run away. It didn't stop me from trying. And this was the thing, who am I? And to this day, after all those years, many and many a time I go into my study, I open my Bible, or I get on my knees before God and I consider the preaching of the word. And I have to confess, the question still comes, who am I? You see, it's the wrong question. As you'll see, because here I'll finish. The Lord sweeps all our excuses away by the assurances that he gives. He guarantees us his presence. Go back to chapter 3, verse 12. He says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And when the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out in the Great Commission, he said, lo, I am with you always. Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says that he will not leave us, he will not forsake us. He guarantees his presence. And in doing that, he points us to himself, his person. I said the question is not, who am I? The question is, who is the Lord? Isn't it interesting? That's the very question that Pharaoh asked. Who is the Lord? Man, he was about to find out. The people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits, Daniel 11:32 tells us. So let's get our eyes off ourselves and let's get our eyes upon the Lord. Who is the Lord? Is the Lord fit to do a work in Uganda? Is the Lord fit to do a work in Balamuni? Is the Lord fit to do a work through people like you and me? Is the Lord able? It's not who am I, but who is the Lord? He tells you, he says, I am the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. Remember how the Lord Jesus interpreted that, referring to this very incident at the burning bush when the Lord so identified himself, he taught from that he is the God of the living, not of the dead. And he taught from that the great doctrine of supernatural power, even to the resurrection of the body. That's whom we serve. The God of glory. The God of power. The God of the covenant. The God who never fails his people. The God who commenced the work, who will continue the work, and who will consummate the work. That's who he is. But now we come to something where I'm going to go out on a limb. You may or you may not agree with me. But when the Lord calls, he he gives a demonstration of his power. In chapter 4, we read, "What is that in mine hand? A rod. Cast it in the ground, became a serpent. Take it by the tail, became a rod." A demonstration of supernatural power. What's in your hand? Nothing. But as I've indicated, that rod became the means of showing the power of God. And this is where I will be controversial. C.H. Spurgeon, when he set up the Pastor's College, received students to train them for the ministry. He told them, "We can't make you preachers. If God doesn't make you a preacher, we can't make you preachers. But we can help you." When men would come for interview, some of them were very poorly educated. Others were men of tremendous talent. I think of Archibald G. Brown, one of Spurgeon's greatest ever prodigies. But many of them were very poor, newly saved men. The world would despise them. Spurgeon didn't ask them about their academic attainment. Not that he wasn't interested in it. But what he did ask them was this: "What tokens do you have from God for your ministry? You come here to say you're called of God to preach. What have you been doing?" And if they'd been doing nothing, he sent them on their way. And if they'd been doing something, he would ask them, "Well, what fruit has God given you? What indications, what demonstrations of his power, what souls has he given you?" And if they said none, he said, "We won't take you." Didn't matter how educated they were, how brilliant they were. You know, I think that old Spurgeon was a lot ahead of us. And I think it would be a very good thing if, when young people come forward for the work of God, we ask them, "What have you been doing for God? And what demonstrations of the power of God have you had in your ministry? What souls have you sought and won for Christ? Because believe me, you're going to need the power of God in the work of the ministry. And if God is calling you to the ministry, he will most certainly give you demonstrations of his power. He'll fill your mouth with his words, as he promised. You may say, like Moses, I'm not an orator, I'm not a preacher, I don't have a way with words. It's not a question of divine or human oratory. It's a question of divine authority. He promises he'll meet every need. He'll provide whatever help and helpers you need. I haven't time to go down to how he moved Aaron at the very time Moses needed him to become his helper. And he reminds us of the glorious result: an everlasting testimony to the glory of God. I said that Moses was terrified at the call of God, but assured by the Lord, he obeyed. And in obeying, he did a great work, had a glorious privilege, and God placed him on the honor roll of heaven. You read Hebrews 11, 24 through 26, how Moses, by faith, forsook Israel, or forsook Egypt. See what the Lord did through him. Go to the Mount of Transfiguration, see the Lord Jesus. Who was with him? Moses. Now that's glory. I think it was, now young people may not even know this name, but old folk who remember the radio program, The Goon Show, will remember the name of Harry Secombe. Harry Secombe could have been an opera singer, I think. He preferred to be a comedian. But he sang a song, "If I can help somebody, then my living will not be in vain." That's a humanistic hymn. But let me tell you, if you can serve the Lord Jesus Christ, your living will not be in vain. What are they singing in heaven? Now, some people will ignorantly say they're singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. There's no such song. They're singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. But what was the song of Moses in Exodus 15? It's the song of redemption. The cost of obeying God may be high, but the rewards are beyond computation. I was thinking about Adoniram Judson, great American missionary who went to what was Burma, now Myanmar. Interestingly, there is a documentary thing that about Myanmar, talking about the people up way in the Himalayas, difficult places. And there's one place there, I came to a tribe, and the king of that tribe, as he called himself, was saying that this was a violent place, a vicious place, death, crime, murder on every hand. Then Christianity came, and all is peace. And they took you to a Baptist church. 2,500 Baptists singing the praise the Savior. And I thought again of Judson, the pioneer missionary to Burma. When Judson graduated, he was immediately called by a very rich and prosperous and prominent and very important church in the city of Boston. They wanted him to be their assistant minister with a view to him taking over as the senior pastor of that important church. And Judson turned away from it. He said, "No, I could not do that, for I would be unfaithful to the call of God." Seemed a crazy thing to do. But you know, before Judson died, 50,000 Burmese had come from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. I want to tell you, that's a life that was not lived in vain. What is that in your hand? I don't know what the Lord wants you to do, but I do know this, that there is a need. Our churches need ministers, not just anybody. God save us from anybody's. My prayer daily for the ministry of the Free Church is that God will give us men who are appointed by God and anointed by God and save us from everybody else. But we need them. Where are the young men who will hear the call of God? We have heard about the mission field, the need there, Kenya. There will be more need in Uganda. If I may plug the North American work, we certainly need workers in Liberia. Will there be other needs? I have no doubt there will. And I can't believe, if I did believe this, I would think it's time to shut up shop in the Free Church entirely, no matter what money we've brought in over recent months. I cannot believe that God is not moving young people in this denomination and saying to them what he said to Moses, come, there's a great work, and I'm sending you to do it. And you say, I can't. What's in your hand? Maybe a doctor's stethoscope. God may use it or may not. Took Margaret out there as a very highly qualified nurse. She didn't do much nursing. She went there as a soul winner. Maybe a hammer and a chisel. But whatever it is, you see your calling, brethren. You're nothing. You see your calling. But God takes the nobodies and the nothings to bring to naught the things that are and to do a great work for him. What is in your hand could be, of course, that hits the very problem. But what's in your hand is as much of the world as you can hang on to. And if that's what's in your hand, that'll hinder you from ever doing anything worthwhile for him. I trust that God will speak to all our hearts, that across this congregation this evening, the Lord will touch one here and one there for specific work, but he'll touch all our hearts for some work in the cause of Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer.
Gracious God, we thank thee for a sense of your presence. Thank thee for your word. You never fail us. We've been looking to the Lord for this weekend and praying earnestly that we would hear from heaven. Thank thee for the challenge throughout the meeting, the reports that we've heard, the ministry and song, and now your word. Be pleased to put your hand upon individuals in this meeting tonight. Help us all to realize, as part of the body of Christ, we have a function in that body. And help us, Lord, to do what the Lord has called us to do. We believe you've got ministers, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, evangelists in this very service tonight. Perhaps, Lord, you've been working in their heart. Deepen the burden. Give them a greater vision of the glory of God. And use us, Lord, in your work. For Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn to the closing hymn this evening. In the order of service, I have only one life on this earth. We're going to sing together all the verses, just three verses. May the Lord continue to challenge us as we sing these words. We're here to help you. And Chairman of the Board is here, Dr. Cairns, other ministers, we're here to help. And if you feel the Lord speaking to you, and we can assist you and guide you and give you counsel, that's what we're here for. Want to encourage you to serve the living Christ, because we've only one life to do it. We'll stand to sing. In prayer and give thanks for the folk, our brother Phil, one her life small the offering.
Life, small the offering at best, yet the world and the flesh often call. This my answer must be to each test. I'll not serve God with less than my all. Father in heaven, we have sensed thy presence this evening. Thou hast been in the house. Thou hast spoken through thy truth. And Lord, we believe with all our hearts and souls that thou art calling young people into the field of service for thee. We pray that thou wilt impress thy word upon their hearts and souls, that they might go through with God their vows to pay their life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and give to them God's very best. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt enable us to bury thy word within our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Impress thy truth upon all those who have been gathered in, not only here at Hebron, but amongst our worldwide audience as well. And Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt be pleased to raise up a people who will hold aloft the blood-stained banner of the cross and be sold out for thee. That they might present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That we might not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our life. We thank thee for the food that has been prepared. We pray that thou wilt bless it to our bodily use and hallow our fellowship together. Take us to our homes in safety and grant that it might please thee to bring us back tomorrow evening and challenge our hearts and souls once more. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen.
The meeting tomorrow night is 7:30. You're invited to come. We trust that you will come back again and hear the reports and listen to the word of the Lord. Supper is served in the Carson Complex, that direction. Some of you will go out this door, undoubtedly, and this door, that's the direction you want to go. Some will go out through the porch there, that exit, and we're going to ask our two missionaries, Stephen and Noreen, to go to the door with the preacher, Dr. Cairns, and I'll be somewhere here at the front of the church. If anyone wants to talk to us, we are your servants for Christ's sake. Thank you.